Hello, it's good to be with you, and I just wanted to let you know that next week we are going to have a drive-in service, so you're able to drive in your cars, stay in your cars, and we'll have people helping park out there, and then we're also going to have communion, and we'll have little packets of the bread and the juice for you to take, and we can give you the packets, and then follow along in communion. But just encourage you to participate in that way. It'll be good to see one another. One thing that I've learned from some of the other pastors is, since we're not shaking hands and hugging right now, outside of our families, there is a way to express that to people, and it's to put our hand over our heart. And I'd encourage you that when you see someone, that even if you're in your car, put your hand over your heart and smile. I'd like to just give you 6 anxiety-calming scriptures. First of all, 2 Timothy 1:7. You might want to write these down. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. And then Psalm 4:8. For peace I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 6 and 7, we read, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. And then Isaiah 41, verse 10. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand. And then Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. And then finally, John 14:1. Your heart must not be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. So I encourage you to focus on those scriptures, to meditate on them, to know that the Lord is with you. We do not have to live in fear. We can be careful, probably, and should be careful, but we do not have to live in fear, because we are in the Lord's hands. I'd like to just ask one thing for prayer. I've been having difficulty with my sight, and I had to go to the eye doctor, and he took my glasses and is going to give me new lenses. I just got them 3 months ago, but they're not working well. So if I'm looking down a little bit more here, it's because I'm not focusing very well. And just be in prayer for me that things will go well as they put the new glasses together as well. There was a college man that walked into a photo studio with a framed picture of his girlfriend. He wanted the picture duplicated. This involved removing it from the frame. In doing this, the studio owner noticed that there was an inscription on the back of the photo. It said, "Dearest Jim, I love you with all my heart. I love you more and more each day. I will love you forever and ever. I am yours for all eternity." And it was signed Sarah. And it contained a P.S., and it said, "If we ever break up, I want this picture back." Peter Drucker wrote this. He said, unless commitment is made, there are only hopes and promises, but no plans. Motivational speaker Art Turok said, there is a difference between interest and commitment. When you're just interested in something, you do it only when circumstances are favorable. When you're committed to something, you accept no excuses, only results. You're committed. Love is about commitment. Not favorable circumstances, but commitment. You don't really love someone unless you're committed to their very best. Nothing significant ever happens in life without commitment. Your commitment determines your future. You are becoming whatever you are committed to. So choose your commitments very carefully. If you're committed to the wrong thing, you're going to become the wrong person. You cannot lose by being committed to Jesus Christ. Weak people are defined by their circumstances, but strong people are defined by their commitments. The Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles 16:9, God is looking for those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. It's those He can bless and use. Now, these past several weeks, we've been looking at how to tell God you love Him. The first thing we looked at is by singing to Him, and then by talking with Him, and then by listening to Him, and the fourth thing we looked at was by identifying with Him. And we looked at communion and baptism as symbols of our identifying with Jesus Christ. Dear Father, we thank You so much for Your word. We thank You that we can look to it and know that Your Spirit, the Spirit of truth, will speak to us through it. We ask that we will listen and we will allow You to do in us that which only You can do. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. The fifth way to express love to God is simply by being committed to Him. By being committed to Him. Love is all about commitment. God is looking for people, according to 2 Chronicles 16:9, whose hearts are fully committed to Him. People whom He can bless effectively and use are people whose hearts are committed to Him. What does it mean to be fully committed to God? There's five basic commitments. There's probably more, but these are basic. The first one is giving my life to Jesus Christ. The second one is committing myself to His family, the body of Christ, the church, by being a part of a church family. The third one is choosing to grow in faith. Choosing to grow in faith. Becoming more and more like Jesus Christ in my character and in my values. And then the fourth thing is using my talents and gifts to help others. That's called ministry. And ministry isn't just something you do in church. Ministry is how you use your talents and your spiritual gifts to help other people. And then fifth is fulfilling the purpose God put me on this earth to accomplish. Sharing the good news, the gospel, with other people. These are five basic commitments. So what's the next step for you? Have you yet to give your life to Jesus Christ? Or having placed your faith in Jesus Christ, have you committed yourself to a local gathering of His church family? Have you involved yourself to grow as a Christian? And being a part of a church family is crucial to that. Have you yet found your ministry? Have you discovered what God put you here on earth to do, to accomplish? So what we're talking about today is worship. Worship is not just something that happens within the four walls of a church building. You worship God by the way that you live your life. Romans 12:1 says, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. The Message paraphrases that by saying, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. A while ago, the vacuum that we have at home back in the Seattle area stopped working. It was running, but it wasn't picking up any dirt off the floor. So I removed the hose, and I looked through it, and I could not see any light. I removed the clogged up dirt, and when the vacuum cleaner worked well, then I knew it was fixed. This is a parable of life. God's power is often thwarted in our lives because of dirt that we've allowed to come in. That commitment that enables us to come clean with God is so important. It releases the flow of God's power in us. So committing your life to Jesus Christ is a prime way of telling God that you love Him. Answer this. I commit myself to doing what God wants me to do. Regularly, occasionally, or rarely. Regularly, occasionally, or rarely do I commit myself to doing what God wants me to do. By one of those three words, mark where you think you are and draw a star to where you want to be. So the fifth way to tell God you love Him is by being committed to Him. Finally, the sixth way to tell God you love Him is by giving to Him. You see, giving at its core is the essence of love. You spell love G-I-V-E because that's what love is all about. When you love someone, you want to give of yourself to them. You want to give. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. You say that you love God, then it's going to show up in your generous lifestyle. I can claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I can claim to love God, but the Bible says there's only one way to really test the sincerity of your love. We find it in 2 Corinthians 8, verses 7 and 8, where we read, just as you excel in faith, in speech, in knowledge, and in complete earnestness, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love. In other words, God tests the sincerity of our love by looking at our giving. Not only the giving of tithes and offerings, but the giving of our abilities and spiritual gifts. What God has put within us. Why does He do that? God doesn't need our time. He doesn't need our money. What does He need? God wants your heart. God wants your heart. He wants what your giving represents. And He wants you to become like Him. God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. You can become like God and be a generous giver, or become less and less like Christ and be a stingy hoarder. There are really basically two kinds of givers. There are the cheerful givers and the fearful givers. Cheerful givers say, I'm going to give. It all belongs to God anyway. I wouldn't have anything without God. It's all His. He'll take care of my needs. Cheerful givers bring delight to God. And then there are the fearful givers. The fearful givers says, I can't afford to give. I've got to protect my interests. Cheerful or fearful? We each must decide what we're going to be. God tests the sincerity of my love by how generous I am in life. Rate yourself. Which word best describes your giving? Regularly, occasionally, or rarely? Mark where you feel you are and put a star where you would like to be. Giving is an act of worship. It's as much an act of worship as singing and praying and thanking and listening, etc. It's saying, God, I love you so much. I want to give back to you. I want to give back to you. You see, everything we have came from God. We cannot outgive God because He gave it all in the first place to us. He gave it all to us. So what does God want from us more than anything else? What does He want us to give more than anything else? The essence of the Christian life can be summed up in two words. Love, relationship. Love, relationship. God wants to have a love relationship with you. The Bible says that you were created as an object of God's love. God made you to love you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He doesn't want you to be religious. He wants to have a relationship with you. The most important thing you can know in life is that God loves you. And the most important thing that you can do in life is to love Him back. Jesus said it like this in Matthew 22. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing is more important than that. The term in the Bible for expressing love to God is worship. Worship. Worship simply means expressing love to God. We're looking at how you can tell God that you love Him. By singing to Him, by talking with Him, by listening to Him, by identifying with Him, by committing to Him, and by giving to Him. This is what love is all about. Here's the bottom line. There's many, many ways to express your love to God. We just looked at six over the last several weeks. God has so wired you in certain ways that are going to appeal to you. And God wants to use our hands, our feet, our eyes and ears and all parts of us because He loves us. And He wants us to love Him back. First, you need to establish a relationship with God. I invite you to pray this prayer in your heart if you've never done that. If you've never opened your life to Jesus Christ, God knows that you need Christ. These words express that. Say something like this: God, I need you in my life. Jesus Christ, I've come to realize that what you did for me on the cross, and that I'll never be able to repay what you've done for me. Everything I have is a gift from you. Please forgive me for not entrusting my life to you. There may be some of you here who have already made that commitment to Jesus Christ, but you would like to take a step further in following him and say, I want to make these five life commitments. I want to trust you with my life, my day-to-day life. Secondly, I want to be an active part of my church family. And then third, I want to grow spiritually. And fourth, I want to use my abilities to help other people. And then fifth, I want to fulfill the purpose that you put me on this earth to do. Use me to make a difference. Use me to make a difference in the world in which I live and in the whole world. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Lord, I pray for those who have prayed these two prayers, one that came to know you as their Savior and their Lord, and the others who want to commit themselves more fully to you and to worship you by the way they live their lives. Thank you that you give us your Spirit to enable us to do that. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.